This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, kind of a pretty disturbing story here to start on our top stories of the day. Dallas Cowboys defensive end Marshawn Nyland died Thursday morning in an apparent self-inflicted gunshot. According to law authorities, the Cowboys released this statement. It is with extreme sadness that the Cowboys share that Marshawn Nyland tragically passed away this morning. Marshawn was a beloved teammate and member of our organization. Our thoughts and prayers regarding Marshawn are with his girlfriend, Catalina, and his family. He was 24 years old. So according to Frisco, Texas police, the department responded to assist the Texas Department of Public Safety with locating a vehicle that evaded troopers during a pursuit that entered the city at approximately 10:39 p.m. Central Time Wednesday. They found his vehicle crashed on southbound Dallas Parkway near Warren Parkway. According to the report, Nyland fled the scene on foot. An officer searched the area with help from canine and drone units. Approximately 3 hours later, Nyland was found with what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. During the course of the search, officers received information that he expressed suicidal ideations, according to the report. This is courtesy of ESPN this morning, or this afternoon. That's a tough story right there. Really tough story. Hate to bring those stories up, but it is a top story. Really unfortunate news. On to the sportsy side of things. Washington Capitals star Alex Ovechkin made hockey history Wednesday night, becoming the first NHL player to score 900 career goals. He was eventually given the record-setting puck once St. Louis Blues goalie Jordan Binnington stopped hiding it in his pants. Yeah, that's what the read is.
I think that is awesome. You hide that puck.
I didn't watch the game. Do you think he was doing it like in a funny manner, or was he doing it like to kind of be a jerk? I'm guessing he was doing it in a funny manner.
It's hockey, so it's probably funny.
Bennington,
I'd have hidden it just to be a jerk.
Yeah, Bennington nudged the puck out of the net with his stick and picked it up with his goalie glove. He tucked his stick under his arm, pulled his hand out of his blocker, and plucked the puck from his glove. This is a great description. He then tucked the disc into the back of his pants in full view of television cameras. That is interesting.
That's awesome.
It was later Michael Cormier had a discussion with Binnington in his crease, after which the Blues goalie reached back into his pants and handed the 900th goal puck to the official. Ovechkin posed for photos, the milestone puck, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. They said the situation wasn't addressed by his teammates or coach Jim Montgomery, who said the Capitals were fueled by Ovechkin's historic moment in the second period. So they didn't really talk about it. Ovechkin said, yeah, I just saw it. I'm not going to comment, he said. So I don't think it was like a funny thing. I think he was trying to hide that puck away. That is, you think it's awesome? No, you just don't like Ovechkin.
He's not an Avalanche.
Yeah, but
he's not the great one.
No, but he's pretty damn good.
He is pretty damn good, and he'll probably have his own little nickname, but I'm still loyal to the great one.
Yeah, that was just an interesting story that that caught my eye. Russell Westbrook is having a pretty good start to the season with his new team. He's been on a lot of them now. He got his 204th triple-double, so he's still the leader in triple-doubles. Joker's trying to catch him. Probably going to take another season, two seasons, I would say, this season and next. But Russ is going to keep trying to pad that stat. Got a triple-double in his 18th year in the NBA. The guy has been outstanding. And with this new team, I mean, they were without Sabonis, Zach LaVine, and Murray last night. The Warriors didn't have Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, or Draymond Green. But man, Westbrook, he's just a fantastic. He's going to go down. Obviously, he's a Hall of Fame player. He's a hell of a player. And he said, humbly speaking, I'm the best rebounding guard ever. So if the ball comes across the rim, I'm going to get it. His 15th and 16th rebounds delivered Sacramento extra possessions to get the clock down and ultimately win the game. He keeps going. He just keeps going. So Russell Westbrook, big night for him and the Sacramento Kings. I got the college. I'm monitoring this, Mike. The college football bottom 10 after week 10. Do you think Colorado State is on that list?
Absolutely.
You think so? That's the only reason I've been digging into this.
I believe you're setting me up for
failure.
For failure there.
They're not on it, and they didn't even receive votes for it. You got to have fun with these, by the way. They have fun with these. So they're bottom 10. They have Livin' on Tulsa Time, which is Tulsa. At number 9, Muddled Tennessee State. At number 8, Oklahoma State. Yeah, you laughed a little too hard at that one. Boston College. Boston College. College.
I said Boston College.
Yeah, that would have been a good one. That's what they should have done. Charlotte 1-7ers, because they're 1-7. The Rambling Wreck in Georgia Tech. Oh, man. These are good. Why did they have Georgia Tech in this? I went through this just to make sure CSU's not there. Why is Georgia Tech there? Mm-hmm. I don't understand this. It just says, in related news, Georgia Tech, located just around the corner from Georgia State, the Falcons and Chad Powers are investigating if, like Powers, perhaps maybe against NC State, someone replaced the entire Yellow Jackets defense and secretly subbed in a bunch of old guys in disguise. They lost to NC State 48-36, but that's their only loss of the season. That's not fair, Mike. It's a bad loss, sure.
Clearly, but this guy is a Georgia fan.
Yeah, I guess. That's an odd one. So I can't really take this serious anymore. State, not Southern. Nevada. Sam Houston, we have a problem. I think he's already used that one. And then UMass at 0-9. He was rolling until the Georgia Tech thing.
What he should have done was had an honorable or dishonorable mention, Georgia Tech's defense.
On the waiting list, he has UTEP, Oregon Trail State, you have died of dysentery, Wisconsin Badgers, Northern Illinois, Arkansas, South Alabama, redundancies. Yeah. No Colorado State, though. So good job. The Rams are not one of the bottom 10 teams in all of college football. Congratulations.
Was that before or after they got rid of Jay Norvell Redenbacher?
I don't think they ever cracked the top 10. They got votes, I think. But I don't think they actually cracked the top 10, did they?
I would like to see who's voting for these. Like, what organization?
Is this just this guy doing it by himself? Maybe it's just this dude putting it together.
It could be this dude, and the votes are my daughter, my infant son, my wife.
It's Ryan McGee of ESPN that does these.
So it's the interns who are voting.
I guess. I don't know. I'm blown away that Georgia Tech's on there. I get he's trying to have fun, and that was a bad, 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 bad loss, but doesn't take away what you've done. 15 minutes after the hour, Mike, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We've got Let's get into some Rockies news. Why don't we have an answer on the Colorado Rockies general manager just yet? This is kind of getting weird. So we'll get to that. We have the Thursday night special coming up. Mike, we're one in a row. One in a row. We got it with your singing ability last week. That was good. It was very good. Not good enough to replace Brian, though. We committed to him.
Absolutely not. No, Brian's a talent.
He's the starter, and you know we have to go back to the starter.
I'm the backup quarterback who threw a bunch of...
You're Matt Flynn.
Yeah, I threw a bunch of dink-a-dunk passes, and my wide receivers did everything, and I got 300 yards because they did all the work.
No, you're not quite Matt Flynn because you didn't get the contract, but you had a Matt Flynn-type game.
Yeah, I'm a severely underpaid Matt Flynn.
Yes, definitely. 12:15 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Brian Gary, Tanner Schwint. Good morning, NoCo is on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get a dub. Let's work together and get a dub tonight. The Rockies need to work together and figure out what they're doing with their lives right now, Mike. They need to get a general manager.
Still no decision?
Huh? Still no decision.
I nominate Tanner.
Patrick Saunders in the Denver Post says, how best to characterize the current state of the Rockies' plan to rebuild their front office? Head scratching. He says, at this point we have few facts, rumors, speculation, anonymous sources, unverified tweets, and a multitude of opinions. We don't know who the next... We're not getting real whiffs anymore, man. For a second, we did. There were two known finalists in Arizona Diamondbacks assistant general manager Amel Sade and Cleveland Guardians assistant GM Matt Forman interviewed for the job, but are now out of the running. The Denver Post reached out via text to see why they were out of the running. Forman declined to discuss why he won't be Colorado's next head of baseball operations, deferring all comments to the Rockies. The Athletic reported on Monday that league sources confirmed there were no other finalists for the job as of last week. Meaning the Rockies have to reopen their search, Mike. New York Post National Baseball columnist John Heyman reported on X that one of the finalists declined an offer from the Rockies while the other dropped out. Obviously we know it's a bad job. Is it just too daunting of a task to try to take on this Rockies general manager job? Nobody wants it? Is that what, I mean, you're hearing random names like Adam Ottavino, former closer for the Rockies, who I think pitched just last year, or this last season for a second. So we got Walker Monfort, who's in charge of finding this guy, kind of. And we are no closer to this. 36 days. It's been 36 days since Bill Schmidt stepped down as the Rockies general manager. 36 days. And you still don't have a front office boss. The offseason has begun, Mike. The Major League Baseball annual general managers meetings begin Monday in Las Vegas. There, according to some sources, there's the belief that maybe the Rockies could get this done by the time we get to Monday. But what day is it today, Mike? Is it Thursday? This is just a typical Rockies thing, I guess, right? Can't even get the general manager job figured out. You can't even get somebody hired at this point. This is ugly.
Maybe that's why they keep hiring from in the organization. Everybody outside the organization is like, nope.
That's a good point. They can't get anybody to actually show interest in this position?
Yeah, look, I just took the interview because you have a really nice restaurant here in Denver that I wanted to try.
Or you took the interview and you didn't like what was being said to you during the interview. Like, what kind of tools am I going to have to work with? I don't know, man.
tools.
Yeah. It's a rough thing. HVAC guy, I've been a Rockies fan since they were playing in Mile High Stadium. This is turning into an insult to lifelong fans. Dude, this is awful. I mean, you're coming off of, is it three in a row now? Three 100 loss seasons? And obviously this one was historically bad. And you don't have a general manager? There's no whiffs of a general manager?
I will do it for $50,000.
What would your first act be?
Free hot dogs for me.
Yeah, that's why you who knows? Maybe the next general manager has that same kind of idea. Saunders did post this yesterday. I'm told by a source that it's unlikely that Adam Ottavino will land the Rockies front office job, though he did talk to Dick Monfort on Tuesday. Why? Why is he even in the running? And this is not a knock on Adam Ottavino. This is not a knock on him. It's just, what is his experience? What has he done? And that's the thing that's kind of interesting. And then you get this news from DNVR Rockies yesterday. Let me pull it up real quick. Chris Bryant has been reinstated from the Rockies' 60-day IL. Who's making the moves is what I want to know. Like, who's making the decisions right now? Somebody is. But this is just... this is wild. They also claimed Troy Johnson off of waivers from Miami. Got me? You're going to follow up your worst season ever with 36 days after the fact that Bill Schmidt left or stepped down or whatever you want to call it, and you still don't have a general manager position? You don't have any whiffs? Like, there's no rumors out there anymore. This is just absolutely insanity. And you still have, I mean, you got, like I said, dude, general managers are meeting up on Monday.
I wonder who they're going to send. Are they just going to send an intern out there?
I guess Walker Monfort would go, is my guess. There's just nothing crazy, or nothing popping right now. Smitty says the Browns and Jets think the Rockies are a bad organization. Seriously, the Monfort family is an embarrassment as owners of a major league organization.
Yeah, I used to call the Rockies the Browns of Major League Baseball. The Rockies are just the Savannah Bananas. That's
the Savannah
what they
Bananas
are.
Win games, Mike.
The Colorado Bananas.
He said, Chris, let Chris Bryant take over GM. Might as well earn his keep. I don't know. And then the fact that Adam Ottavino's name was in connection with this is even more bizarre to me. He pitched for the Rockies from 2012 to 2018. He talked with Dick Monfort about the job. A major league source confirmed Ottavino and Monfort had a Zoom session on Tuesday, but it's doubtful Ottavino, who has no front office experience, will be named Colorado's top baseball decision maker.
Just give it to a fan.
It wasn't Walker. Dick Monfort was talking to Adam Ottavino. So what does that tell you? I mean, is Walker the guy that's in charge of finding the next general manager, or is it Dick Monfort that's in charge of finding the next general manager? Because I thought that was what we kind of got excited for, that it was going to be somebody else, that it wasn't Dick Monfort making these decisions anymore. And so we're still sitting here waiting for this process, or whatever you want to call this, to play out. Mind-numbing. Mind-blowing, I guess I should say, that we don't have anything. HVAC guy, is Jerry Schimmel available?
I'd give it to Jerry.
Jerry, go for it, yeah. Let's get somebody. Tanner, it's looking like Tanner might get a call, Mike.
Tanner's the biggest Rockies fan I know.
Yeah.
I would give it to Tanner. Because, you know, why not?
Yeah, why not?
At least he's somebody. He knows baseball, kind of.
Listen, man, we can make all the jokes we want that this process was going to be bad or they weren't going to hire the right guy anyway. But this is now beyond bad. 36 days after Bill Schmidt stepped down. and you don't have any real whiff as to who is going to be the next general manager of the Colorado Rockies. And now there's no rumors out there. And so you're hearing the two top candidates kind of were like, eh. Foreman declined to discuss why he won't be Colorado's next head of baseball operations, deferring all comments to the Rockies.
Ready? I think I know the perfect analogy for the Rockies. The Rockies are the not another teen movie of baseball. They are just a parody.
It feels like it, man. And it really sucks. It does. Like, you know, texters saying, hey, lifelong fans, all that. And it's only getting worse. Like, you need to have a general manager in place right now. The fact that they don't is a bad thing. Yes. This is not, oh, there's still time. Dude, the offseason has begun. You got to get this done. Like, they, with Bill Schmidt, you thought 36 days. This could have been close to done before the season even ended. Got me. 12:30 the time. Let me tell you guys about the City of Greeley new utility program that started on November 17th. The new Greeley utility portal launches on November 17th. This portal makes it easier than ever to pay your utility bill online, track water usage, and access rebates and incentives. Check your mailbox in November and December for your new account number. You can visit greeleyco.gov/my-utilities for more details. 31 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Freddie Hall.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Big City Roadhouse. If you guys are thinking about Thanksgiving already, you're getting into that mode, maybe you'll consider letting Big City Roadhouse do the cooking this year. Whether you'd like to dine in or pick up and enjoy at home, they've got you covered with a delicious Thanksgiving meal. A Thanksgiving three-course feast for just $38. So check them out. You can call them at 970-330-4847. They're located on 1923 59th Ave. That's where the old Cables location used to be, and now it is Big City Roadhouse. That is my I love that spot. I loved it when it was Cables, and the food is just awesome. It's a relaxing scene there. It's great to watch games too, man. They got everything. That's Big City Roadhouse. Big City flavor, Roadhouse comfort. Lytle put this together, and I think this is very fitting in the Colorado, and Kevin Lytle, who will join us in about an hour. The misery index for college football in our wonderful state of Colorado, Michael. And he's basically writing out, he's talking about Air Force, Colorado State, and Colorado. So he has the misery index here. Falcons are 2-6, a 5-7 record a year ago, and the Falcons will surely miss a bowl for the second season in a row. And it sure feels like that's going to happen. And we talked about that yesterday on the buy or sell. I think you were more on Wyoming, maybe, potentially.
Yeah, I think Wyoming might be the only one.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't throw in Wyoming because he's sticking with Colorado here. But Air Force is 1-6 against FBS opponents. But they were most of those games were pretty close. They just can't stop anybody. So they're in constant track meets every single game.
They have no defense, but boy. I mean, that offense is fun.
Well, yeah. They slowed down a little bit the last couple of games, but that's
still
pretty fun.
Still can't win.
Yeah, still can't win.
What do they have this week? I don't remember.
Oh,
I'd love to see them win. I'm so tired of bad college football in Colorado.
It's really bad. Air Force. So look at this. Like, in the Mount West standings, You got Wyoming, Colorado State, and Air Force all at the bottom of the barrel, except for Nevada's at the bottom. But then it's Air Force, Colorado State, and Wyoming.
We're not in last place. We're not in last place.
Yeah. Air Force has San Jose State. They're on the road against San Jose State this weekend. Yeah, it's not good, Bob. Definitely bad around here. Colorado State sitting at 2-6, and their misery index has got to be worse, right? You fired your coach. Like, there's nothing when you fire your coach, and you've got. You know, Tyson Summers is not a knock on him, but it is a lame duck situation. It's like, what are you playing for? I mean, Rams fans, are you still engaged? Are you still like rooting? Oh, we could get into a bowl game. They got to win out. But it would be the sixth time in the last seven seasons the Rams have missed a bowl game. And they made the coaching change, too. Fired Jay Norvell back in October. That seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Why? I don't know why. But they had their bye and everything and the boot and all that was pretty bad.
Remember when they had a coach that brought them to bowl games all the time and then they fired him?
Yeah. Pretty bad situation there.
I wonder if they looked into the future and were like, you know, maybe we shouldn't do this. Like, maybe we can't get anyone better.
I think they're cursed because you had a Sonny Lubick and you just haven't been able to. Well, let's face it. Jim McElwain was it, right? That was the only successful coach that the Rams have had post Sonny Lubick, right? I mean, Steve Fairchild, who I like, really cool guy, does his quarterback stuff, and I think he's awesome. Just couldn't get it right. Mike Bobo had moments, but nothing better than a 500 barely bowl team. Steve Addazio, that was a train wreck. Jay Norvell, really, his time wasn't great. If you look at his records, it just wasn't great. You know, he had the 8-win year last year, but that was it for him. I mean, it was he kind of building? I mean, every year he got a little bit better, save for this year. But however you want to slice this, it's just bad. And how did it get this way for CSU? Because, listen, to be fair to Joe Parker, the hire seemed like the right move. We were all excited about it. And I don't know why it went so south so quickly. Just he couldn't get the quarterback position figured out, had some weird things in game. I don't know. He seemed like he should have been a different coach, but it just, for whatever reason, he got bad when he came to Colorado State.
I mean, it's not like it's too hard to recruit to CSU. It's a nice campus. It's a lovely-looking town. You've got the mountains. It's not like, hi, we're in the middle of the desert where there's nothing to do.
And you're close to Denver. You know, that's a thing.
Yeah, close to the Broncos.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think they care about the Broncos, but I think they're just close to Denver to have everything. You know, a lot of stuff there. Plus, Fort Collins is a nice town.
Almost as nice as Greeley.
Greeley's a nice town. But I just don't know. I mean, why couldn't he get another Torrey Horton? I know that's... I heard it as I said it. Like, that's... Okay, that's tough to do. But why couldn't he get anything close? It's a dude that wrote a book on wide receivers. If you're a stud receiver, wouldn't you want to go work with Jay Norvell? Or... You couldn't get them because you saw what they were doing. They were never air raid. This was never an air raid offense. It never felt like it. And they tried, but they just kept having to go back to running the football. Smitty says Nevada is in the worst situation because they have the least resources and have hired two coaches since Jay left Reno. Yeah, Nevada's bad. And they have terrible resources. Yes.
They're in Nevada.
That's a bad situation for Nevada. Yeah. But I just... And this is why when people say, well, who are they going to get? What is that? Colin Klein's the guy we keep hearing. I keep hearing more and more about him, which would be cool. But I think people are done with cool, right? Like the whole Jay Norvell's really nice and he's really outward in the community and all that stuff that worked for a minute. It bought him some time. But after you've had it, now you're just like, I don't care, man. Let's just get a guy and come in and win. Find a way to recruit.
Maybe don't try to make that splash. Maybe make that, I mean, was Ed Lama a splash?
No.
Like, don't make that big splash. maybe make the I don't know who this guy is, and then build it up because you're trying to win now. Well, unfortunately, trying to win now hasn't been happening. So maybe change it and tell all the donors, hey, look, it hasn't been happening this way. We're going to slowly build it up. Give us a little bit of patience.
Yeah. Well, that it's interesting you bring that up because at a lower level, it is a fascinating comparison because, you know, for the Bears, they were in no man's land. Football was not on anybody's register or radar. It was nothing. You know, Ernest Collins Jr., they finally move on from him.
He was there for like 9 years.
He was there for a long time, and they were typically losing. And so the rumor mill was churning, you know, and it was like, okay, Marty English, his name kept coming up. Wasn't he the DC for UNC at that time? Is that right? I want to say that's the case. But Marty's been on both, you know, he's around Wyoming and or Colorado State. Marty English was the name I was hearing. And then the rumor mill was like, Darren called and contacted people about Marty and somehow got connected with Ed McCaffrey and was basically talking. Ed was talking up Marty English, but then it turned into essentially, why don't you just do it? You know, and that it makes it sound really easy. Like Rockies maybe should call Darren Dunn because it was a random call. Like, you want to coach? I don't know. I have 2 years of high school experience at a place that Micah could go coach and win. But sure, I'll go do it.
I would absolutely agree. I could have coached and won there.
Yeah. I mean,
it's hard to lose at that school.
That's a school that wins championships a lot. And he won. I think he won one with them.
I think they're having a down year, but like
but
before
typically,
that.
Yeah, typically. But that so they go that, and that was a splash. And it was cool, man. It was awesome. There was a vibe at UNC that I'd never seen before.
And then they started drowning after that big splash.
It was awful. And, you know, I remember going to Ed McCaffrey's opening press conference, and it was, there were fans there. There were more than just three media members there. There was a front row. It was in an auditorium. It was like a room full of like, held like 50 seats or something like that. It was clear full. So you had a front row full of media with cameras everywhere. Denver media is coming up here for this. He was doing Zoom calls with, I remember like Romy Bean is on the Zoom calls because it was during COVID. And so we were doing the Zoom thing and like Nine News and Channel 4 and all these other outlets are on these Zoom calls with Ed McCaffrey. Dude, we were the flagship radio. This is a little pullback behind the curtain thing and pissed me off. But we were the flagship radio station at the time. And we were supposed to have Ed McCaffrey on right after he did his opening press conference. We were doing a remote out there. You remember, Mike? And he left and went and did an interview with the Denver station. I just, that right there, I know it's a personal thing, but it was like, dude, we're going to be here whether you suck or whether you're good. They're only going to be here for the hype, for the moment. And then once it gets bad, see you later. You're not a story anymore.
Yeah.
That really sucked.
That always rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, it just always does. Like,
yeah.
Your local, you got to take care of the local
do
media.
Your local hit first, and then you go on and do your Denver thing. I know you're Denver. I know. I get that. But the biggest knock on him, one of the biggest knocks on him was that he was never really Greeley. He never bought in like Jay Norvell did at CSU.
We had heard that he never, and this is like multiple people saying, never went to Eaton, never went to any of the local schools. I can understand doing Denver media if you plan on recruiting Colorado.
Yeah.
He didn't recruit Colorado like Ed Lamb recruits Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole thing was just awful. And I remember it kind of felt weird at that point because it wasn't even me. It was our Voices of Bears, and they were, you know, set up doing the show, talking about the hype and listening in on the press conference. And then Ed was supposed to just walk right off the stage and go sit down with those guys. He left the building. He left the building to go outside and get on his phone and do the hit with the Denver radio station. And anyway, I digress. That was just when you kind of knew, oh, okay, this guy, does he really get that this is a small town? This is a small town vibe here. And you can't be Denver. It was a crazy thing. Yeah, exactly. Smitty says, how many Denver sports media members had to plug UNC into their GPS to find the university?
Greeley. What is that?
Yeah. Don't get me started. We got
like
a lot
they only know about Greeley whenever there's like a big time murder
or like a really good sports story.
Like when CSU accidentally wins.
Or if UNC is a game away from going to March Madness, like they were last year. Maybe you're getting some Denver people talking. 12:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Don't sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red-hot takes. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
I got the perfect suggestion for the collector in your life. You guys have been hearing me talk about it, but that's Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. They've got the sports memorabilia, sports cards. If you've got someone in your family that you're doing Christmas shopping for, it's never too soon to start that stuff, man. Get it done. That way you don't have to stress about it later. Think of Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Mike coming up. We got buy or sell. I want to do some a prop version of buy or sell prop bets for the Broncos tonight. And Hooligans, play along on this one, 888-530-0043. I'm going to go through some of the stat lines, some of the prop bets on DraftKings, I guess, and we'll go through it and we'll see. We'll talk about it. Is this going to be an explosive kind of night for this Broncos offense? Are we going to see a lot of points? Let's get to that on the other side. Buy or sell. Then we have the Thursday night special, along with the Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. And then we'll get to what did we learn. I will make one pick. Obviously, it's Thursday night special. It's going to be a part of the picks, too, though. It's a part of the picks. The picks are on Friday, and everybody knows that.
Because they're on Friday.
They're on Friday, but this will count toward the Thursday night special and the picks because it's Broncos. That's part of my six-pack picks thing that I do. So
and the picks are on Friday.
Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that, but we will make a pick today.
Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that. Buy or sell. Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.